about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. As you all know, it's been many years since I've toured the act, and I may be a little rusty.
Let's see it.
Stop stalling.
Show some leg.
You're a rough crowd. All right.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
B.I.G. Ah! Woo.
Thanks to Al Gore's stupid internet, people can just get music for free. That's why I got out of the music business.
Despite my beautiful singing voice and my amazing songwriting.
You're exhausting.
A little bit of Kevin in my life. A little bit of Dean wiping my ass. A little bit of Lisa in my pants. A little bit of Ralph talking his a little bit of beer mug getting fired. Actually, a lot of that happening.
Well, it seems impossible, but here we are, face to face with Friday again, with all the old familiar elements on hand.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Let's put that theme on and kick it in like this.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Kevin, you're fine.
Roll another one.
Britney Spears, what about it?
Just like the other one.
It's gonna be hot.
This one seems to be about to quit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Is that not a thing?
Roll. 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 Another one.
What if we rape Kevin?
Just like the other one.
Do you get paid more if they do stuff to your butt?
This one seems to be about to end.
I would think, you know, for $80, just the tip.
I don't have another cent.
I would do anything for love, but I won't do that.
But the one guard that joins.
Oh, my goodness, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Just pass it around.
I want a good movie.
I don't know anything about politics. You two can talk about America all you want, but I'm not going to listen because there's no I or me in America.
There's both.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Friday morning.
Yes, finally.
What's going on?
Today's Beer Mug's last day.
What? I didn't know that. Fantastic.
Is? Yes, today's Beer Mug's last day. It came to me in a dream. God spoke to me in a dream last night.
Did he? Now, is it a voice, or how did it come to you?
You know, the thing is with God, and this is what I found is mysterious when he's spoken to me in the past, and he's always right, Beer Mug, is you don't actually see him. It's a feeling. He just envelops you with his grace.
Haven't you had that feeling since the first day Beer Mug started?
No, that was a wish. That was just dreaming and wishing. But this is God came to me, and he said it's his last day. Now, I don't know whether that means management-wise that he gets fired, or what I hope the way God operates is, you know, God just takes him out. You know what I mean? Like
kills him.
Like Mug's something. Just,
crossing
an accident.
The street today. Yeah, exactly. Something like that. So one way or another, it's the end.
Okay.
And if we show up Monday and there's still Beer Mug, then clearly
there's no God.
There's probably no God.
Or your perception of God might be a little flawed.
Right. And I doubt that. I think it's more likely there's no God.
Sure.
So anyways, I was very excited when I woke up this morning with a huge smile on my face. It was so comforting. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I know everything's going to be okay now.
That's great. That's good news.
Great. Speaking of everything's going to be okay, I have been following this week. I think it's a fascinating story that there was a $23 million lottery ticket. Lisa, you probably saw this on the news that they have been advertising saying, hey, whoever won this lottery ticket, you only have till the end of November to claim it. Otherwise, it goes back into the pot. They give the money to schools, you know, if people don't claim lottery tickets in California.
No, I hadn't heard the story. Now, how long? Here they have a year. Is that right?
6 months.
Oh,
180
it?
Days.
Oh.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. By the way, that's it. That's plenty of time. If you won $23 million, I could do it in 15 minutes.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. If you buy tickets, you should have a plan after the numbers are announced to go ahead and check those. But a lot of people don't. A lot of people hang on to them. There are people who, you know, go to the website and once a month or something, they go and check and see their tickets. You know what I mean? I mean, everybody has a different system.
I wonder how many people buy lottery tickets and then forget or misplace them or whatever. And how many pots go unclaimed?
I may be able to answer that question because between 2011 and 2012, more than $20.5 million in lottery winnings from the state of California have gone unclaimed.
Wow.
Now, that's not one big jackpot. That's everything. You know,
right.
So that could be, but that could easily be people who have $100,000 over here or $40,000 over there. That adds up, right? $20.5 million just in the last 2 years unclaimed. So let's get back to this story. $23 million. They put out the word this week. A California lottery ticket was purchased May 30th at Michael's Market and Liquor in Palmdale. The woman, who now we know is the winner, forgot that the ticket was in her car and has been driving around with it in her glove compartment for the last 5 months.
Oh, my God.
Did she know it was the winning ticket or no?
No, she did not. Here's what happened.
All right.
ABC News published a surveillance camera photo of the person that they think bought the winning ticket from the convenience store. Her daughter saw that photo and shared it with her mom and said, "Hey, mom, isn't this you buying this lottery ticket?" And she says, I think that was me. So she went out to the glove compartment of her car, and there was the ticket.
Are you kidding me? She would have completely forgotten about it.
Totally. Yeah, it was not on her radar at all.
$23 million.
They really went out of their way to find her.
No kidding.
The schools need money.
Take it easy.
Let it go.
Lottery.
I was thinking the same thing. If I were the lottery, I would not be advertising that I have money that has been unclaimed, right? But then again, who knows? Maybe they sell a lot more tickets because people hear a story like this and go, wow, people really, really do win. But the store that sold the ticket gets 0.5% of the jackpot, which is $115,000. So the store's super happy up there in Palmdale. And it's crazy to know that if she had waited less than another month, she would have been out that money. And then, God forbid, she finds it December 1st.
Oh, no, that would just have been a nightmare.
Well, and it goes to the website.
Yeah, yeah. I'm calling. I won the lottery. I'm sorry you're a day late.
How do you process that?
Oh, my God.
How do you process that? Exactly.
And now she's driving around with $27 million in her glove box, which I think is not the best plan.
Maybe so. Good times.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I'm so excited. I shake this thing that my mama gave me.
I love that character on The New Girl. Matt Money Smith will be on the program today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fire Mike Brown.
Must fire Mike Brown. Must.
That's what I'm all about.
Must fire the Laker coach. He's had plenty of time.
Hey, he's had 2 games.
And 8 in the preseason, Bean.
Right, there's that.
Which is what I'm getting. Laker fans tend to overreact.
To get a little excited.
Just a little.
Yeah.
Just a little. Hey, it took Miami, you know, a full year to start getting the chemistry they needed. Cousin Sal's going to be on the program today with his NFL picks.
All right.
Fantastic.
We have your day-to-day friend's ex, and that ended your friendship with that person because you were dating his or her ex. Mm. Gerard Butler and Leonardo DiCaprio are going through that right now. Breakfast with Mumford and Sons.
Yes, more tickets.
We've got your tickets for that. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. We are going to talk to a little fellow by the name of Jimmy Kimmel, who's doing a show from Brooklyn this week and had David Letterman on night before last, I believe. Mm-hmm. And we have from Wu-Tang Clan, and I believe when this is over, Bean and I will be honorary members of the Tang. Do they call them the Tang?
They don't, just Wu.
Wu?
Yeah.
The Wu?
I believe we will be, not the, come
no,
on,
just
Lisa.
Wu?
Come on now. Come on.
Sorry.
Don't embarrass us.
I'm sorry.
RZA will be here, so we're very excited about that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat Night. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52. What?
Kevin and Bizza, please.
You're not Bizza.
Kevin and Bizza.
I want to run it by RZA first before you're Bizza, and then I can be Kizza.
We'll talk about the man with the iron.
Right now it's RZA.
Coming up here in a minute. Here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday, Ralph joins us. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Grab my Dizza. Give me a chance. Hey, I want to give you a heads up. Tonight, NBC is going to be airing an all-star benefit concert to help out folks affected by Hurricane Sandy. You'll also be able to see it on HBO, on Bravo, CNBC, the E! Network, G4, MSNBC, Style, Sci-Fi, USA, and streamed at NBC.com. No excuse not to watch and participate in some much-needed fundraising for the people affected by Hurricane Sandy. Here's your lineup. Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. No surprise there. Those Jersey boys will be performing.
Sure.
John Bon Jovi, another Jersey boy. Billy Joel, who, of course, comes from Long Island. Christina Aguilera, Sting. Matt Lauer is going to host, along with Brian Williams and Jimmy Fallon. And all the money pledged during the telethon will go to the American Red Cross. We're doing a great job, by the way, in dispersing that money where it's most needed. And if you want to help, a lot of people say, you know, where can I donate sweaters or canned goods or whatever? No, they don't need that. They need cash. So if you're going to do anything, go to the American Red Cross and donate what you can, because that gives them the ability to apply the supplies and the needs of these people most directly. They don't have to worry about sorting through donations and canned goods and things. It takes time, money, and effort for them to do that, and it's a waste of time, money, and effort. So if you give them the cash, they can apply it directly to whatever supplies are necessary and buy this stuff for people and get it to them as quickly as possible.
So may I add something to that, Ralph?
Sure.
The easiest way to do it is just to text Red Cross to 90999. You can do it in, you know, 1 second, you're done. $10, 90999. And if you're so inclined, they also have had to cancel hundreds of blood drives in the New York City area, too. And they are requesting all across America, if you have the time today, to give some blood. And that can be very useful as well.
Bean's thinking about giving him more organs. He's thinking maybe a spleen, maybe a lung. He's got, you know, while he's open, why not pull a couple extra out?
How about the other kidney?
Why not?
You know?
And I don't even use my liver, really, so that could
go.
That's
true. That's true. Just put Bean's brain in the jar the way we knew it would always end up and plug him in.
It may be there. We haven't seen him in a while.
That's true. This may be in a glass case. Well, we're talking about helping people out who have been affected by Hurricane Sandy. I don't know if you saw on television the Mitt Romney storm relief event in Kettering, Ohio.
Oh, no.
What? Yeah, he had a well-publicized event where he was there collecting things for the people who were going through this horrible tragedy. He was collecting everything that the Red Cross says, please don't collect for
Don't collect
us.
That.
Canned food, granola bars, diapers.
Oh, dear God.
He was standing there accepting donations from people and thanking them for bringing stuff along.
Everybody can use a granola bar at some point in their life.
Kevin likes granola bars.
Who's with me?
Here's the problem. It was disclosed this week that what happened was the Romney campaign went to Walmart and bought a bunch of stuff.
No.
And then gave it to the people who were in line to meet him. And said, give this to Governor Romney. Mm. And so they were handing him donations that he was accepting that in reality were bought as props for the photo op. So
why couldn't he just say he's there? He spent money on to help them.
Should have just written a big check.
That's what he should have done.
Yeah.
Huh. So they made it appear as if people were donating stuff in order to give that photo op some punch, but in reality, his campaign had bought the stuff that they were turning in. So
Mitt Romney says no.
Another cross of celebritydom and politics. George Clooney, it turns out, is related to Abraham Lincoln. Well, of course he is.
Aren't we all?
Aren't they all just the best, those two guys? Ancestry.com did a little research, and turns out that George Clooney is a half first cousin five times removed. From our former president, Abraham Lincoln. So now we know why Clooney's so great. He's related to the great emancipator.
Do we have to elect him as president?
I would. Yeah. That silver fox.
I think it was Schmidt on the Halloween episode of The New Girl had a theory that at least once a day most Americans think of Abraham Lincoln. You think there's anything to that theory?
No.
No.
Okay.
I can only speak for myself.
I think it makes for excellent comedy fodder, but I don't believe it.
I kind of believed it for
I'm
a minute.
Sure you did.
I know I do.
And you love those kind of facts, so you would like it to be true.
I do want it to be true.
Yeah, he was young Lincoln. He made a handsome young Lincoln. That Schmidt. And Amanda Bynes is the best.
Oh, no. Not another accident.
No. She wasn't driving this
okay,
time.
Oh, okay, good.
In fact, she wasn't behind the wheel at all. She was getting a spray tan.
Yes.
A Mystic Tan spray tan session. She was in New York City. Apparently, this was before the hurricane hit. She was at the tanning salon. She realized they hadn't had any stocked the booth she was in with any protective goggles or towels. So she went into the lobby looking for both. Of course, she was already naked. She had already stripped down for the tanning experience.
Yeah, save time, you know.
And apparently the onlookers in the lobby who were waiting for their turn were a little shocked to find a nude Amanda Bynes strolling around the hallways and lobby of the tanning salon.
Delighted or horrified, do you think?
She's an attractive girl. They were probably delighted, but they couldn't believe how nonchalant, and she was like looking through magazines and trailing her fingers along the hallway and like kind of spaced out. One witness said she took her time walking back to the Mystic Room, dragging her fingers along the wall and smiling at customers who passed her. There's something definitely wrong with her.
Wow. That is weird.
It is.
It's fine, but it's weird.
I appreciate young ladies who are not uptight about the human form.
Yeah, we know you do. We know you do. Hey, Kevin and I are going to be playing poker Thursday, November the 15th at San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino. It's the 10K poker play. Here's what happens. You sign up. Doesn't cost you nothing. You play poker, and if you are the last man or woman standing, you win $10,000.
You got a theme song and everything, right?
If that's your poker face. Come and join us at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino 10K Poker Play. Here's the thing. Kevin and I will both have tables that we will be hosting as at the start of the tournament. I've got a pair of tickets to sit at my table if you'd like to. 1-800-520-1067. Call right now. Let's make it caller number 10 for the 10K Poker Play. And if you don't get through, you can go to krock.com and sign up to enter the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino 10K Poker Play for Thursday, November the 15th. We're going to have a good time.
Ralph bluffs every hand, so call him.
Stop it. Kevin's the one. Oh, I'm all in. It's always a bluff. He can't even read the cards. He doesn't know his numbers. Speaking of people who are behind in their development, did you hear Honey Boo Boo?
No.
The latest scandal this week?
No.
You know, she's, what, she's 7 years old?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's been discovered that June really had never took the time to toilet train her.
Oh, no.
What?
What?
Honey Boo Boo wears pull-ups.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's seven.
Yeah.
But when you take that entire family into account, it makes sense.
Absolutely, it does.
But, oh, my.
But something we all take for granted that by three or so, you've been potty trained.
By seven, you can train yourself.
Turns out Honey Boo Boo still wearing the pull-ups.
Oh, my. Isn't she going to school and stuff?
I'm not familiar with the ways of the Cheese Puff family. I'm not sure how they work, but
I'm only six, and I've already had three heart attacks, girlfriend.
Yeah.
I wonder if they don't have indoor plumbing yet. I wonder if that's part of the problem.
I'm not sure. Today's celebrity birthdays: Michael Buffer. Let's get ready to celebrate a birthday. He's 68 years old today. Lauren Velez, La Guerta on Dexter.
She's good. Oh, yeah.
She's great. Good actress. 48 years old today. David Schwimmer, 46. Nelly celebrates his 38th birthday. And Chris Walla, guitarist for Death Cab for Cutie, turns 37. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You haven't missed Ralph's Movie Beat here on the Friday Kevin and Bean Show. That's coming up next half hour. Also, our old friend Jimmy Kimmel talks to us live from Brooklyn. Yesterday, we made an announcement that was a surprise to many people who have listened to the Kevin and Bean Show who didn't think I was ever capable of doing a good thing for somebody.
Well, but a lot of people, myself included, what's the word? How would we summarize?
Don't even bother trying to come up with the word.
Asshole.
Oh, how dare you. We made the announcement that I'm donating a kidney to a longtime friend of the Kevin and Bean Show and a coworker here at K-Rock. And that,
I don't like him that much. I just wanted to go on record.
That operation is coming up in a couple of weeks. I wrote all about it at krock.com if you want to check it out. And let me just read the one email that I got yesterday that kind of makes the whole thing worthwhile. And I'm so happy to have received this. This is from Kristen, who lives down in the OC. I heard the announcement that you were donating a kidney. You inspired me to come home tonight and have a conversation with my husband where I said out loud that my organs are up for grabs.
He all right.
Told me that his organ was also up for grabs, but that's a completely different topic. Seriously, Bede, I officially registered to be an organ donor using the link you provided in your post on krock.com. If it had not been for your story today, I do not know when or if I ever would have registered, and I certainly have no excuse for not having done it previously. I know that you're not doing this for accolades. I commend you. I've always been a big fan, but this has taken my admiration to you and the guys to a new level. Best of luck with the transplant process, and know that the KROQ fans will be sending good vibes to you and Scott. But this is the point. If nothing else comes out of this, yeah, make fun of me all you want. But all do right. Go to krock.com and click on the link to either donatelifecalifornia.org or organdonor.gov if you are out of the state of California and get all the information on being an organ donor, either as a living organ donor or after you passed, rather than bury all those good organs in the ground. So that's my message.
That is Bean's message. That's going to happen between now and the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought just as a way of checking up, we would talk to Bean's kidney because he is getting one up.
What?
So one of his kidneys is being sacrificed.
That is a really
You have my kidney
point.
On the phone?
We have your kidney on the phone. Hard to believe, I know.
How did that... Why do I not feel that?
Zippity-doo-da, zippity-day. Hello?
Hi, is this Bean's kidney?
Yes, yes, it is Bean's kidney.
Fantastic.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm very, very happy.
It sounds like you're in a good mood.
I'm in a great mood.
Okay.
Because I'm finally getting out. I'm escaping this prison of insanity and Asperger's.
How much insanity and Asperger's can happen inside of Bean's body?
Well, we hear everything.
Oh,
you think it's hard for you guys? He talks to you, I don't know, a couple hours a day.
Right.
We have to hear everything he says all day long.
Oh, wow.
I mean, the heart has threatened just to stop completely over some of the stuff.
Is that right? Oh, the heart is revolting?
One more Taylor Swift song, and the heart has said he just might stop.
How dare you? Listen, are you the kidney that's staying, or are you the kidney that's going?
I'm going.
Oh, he's going.
Oh, you're the one who's out of there. You got the first class ticket away, huh?
And it was quite the battle between me and the other kidney as to who went.
How did you decide exactly? Because
Rochambeau.
Did you? What did you win with?
Paper.
Yeah. Nice.
Paper beats kidney, turns out.
Oh, how about that? Yeah. Let me ask you this, and I don't really understand what it's like to be a kidney, but I would imagine it's a pretty sweet gig being my kidney because you're not processing a lot of, you know, a lot of alcohol or drugs or meat or anything like that. It's easy living for you, right?
Yeah, it's mostly just the essence of goats.
Oh,
you have to work out. And
I don't know why that was needed.
Just the vapors of the chloroform when you get one of your victims. I mean, we still
have
those
what?
In.
So you still have that.
Yeah. And but other than that, it's a pretty good gig. But the problem is just, it's really just the listening to the words. It's really just the...
I hear you.
Just the idea, endless stuff. You know what? As Christmas album comes out today?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. You just want to shut down, really, as an organ. You just want to shut down. So the idea of getting out and escaping and going on to someone else. I heard this guy's no box of chocolates either, but
no.
I mean, at least I don't have to put up with this anymore.
Are you relatively sure that you're going to hear less in the new guy, and does that make you happy?
It couldn't be any worse. That's how we all feel.
Is it possible it'll be too quiet?
You know, I might miss it after a while. I might get lonely.
Yeah.
But I'll just follow him on Twitter, and that'll fix that.
That's Imagine Dragons. Alex Clare coming up next. Rise Against of Monsters and Men, Sublime, and Jimmy Kimmel joins us after the top of the hour. Ralph is here now. Time for the showbiz. Good morning, Ralph.
Tomorrow night at Universal City Walk, Kevin Smith and I return to the John Lovitz Theater to do our Hollywood Babylon show Saturday night at 8 p.m. Love to have you join us. You can get tickets at thelovitz.com or Babylon Ralph or BabylonKev.com. We'd love to have you come out and check out the show. We have a good time, I think.
This should not happen in America.
It should happen in America, and does. You know what shouldn't happen in America? The Country Music Awards. What the hell's going on with that?
How dare you?
How do you give awards for crap?
I enjoyed much of the show last night, Ralph. I'm sure you were watching.
No, I wasn't.
Are the awards just crap covered with gold?
They are. They're just gold sprayed turds they hand out. But they're cow turds, you know, because it's country music.
Sure.
Don't kick a cow turd when it's hot, son.
I've heard that.
Or whatever that guy says.
America sure loves this Blake Shelton, don't they?
Oh.
Jesus.
How can they not? He's, I don't know.
You don't know anything about him.
I don't know anything about him.
No.
But he did
He's
win.
He's the judge on The Voice.
Male Vocalist of the Year. Female Vocalist of the Year was Miranda Lambert. Isn't
his
that his wife?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, they're the first couple of country music now.
Yeah, this is some kind of fixes in with this program, I'll tell you. Who gives this out of what? Is this another Dick Clark production? Is this something you just slapped together and put on television? Is that what went on?
I don't think so. I think this is legit. By the way, Blake and Miranda also won Male and Female Vocals of the Year last year, too.
So take it easy.
All right, relax. I didn't mean to open up a can of worms here.
I'm just adding on to what Ralph's
saying. Just let me get to the joke, which is Tadoff Switler went 0-3. No awards for her.
Yeah.
No awards for Tadoff Switler. She responded by going, "Oh my God, I can't believe I didn't win anything." And she made that face afterwards. By the way,
my theory is, Ralph, that the country music audience is turning on her because she's gone all pop now. So they're done with her.
Or she's horrible.
Or she is evil incarnate. Or she has 666 tattooed on her scalp. Nothing or to her say vagina now. Is a portal to hell.
That's true.
That is
true. I'd like to find out.
That's science.
By the way, music, video music of the year, Red Solo Cup by Tony Toby Keith. So,
are you kidding?
Just to show you the CMAs are right there on Target. You know what that video is? It's him walking around a party holding a Red Solo Cup.
That's
the
it.
That's the video.
That's the video.
For that. Hey, Kevin, I was thinking of you as I read this story.
Yes.
Only because I know of your love of wax museums.
I do hate them.
You do love the wax museums. No one gets a bigger thrill of a wax museum.
What a waste of time that is. Don't look at anything like that.
Louis Tussaud's House of Wax in Great Yarmouth in the UK is closing its doors after being open since 1955.
About time.
The couple that runs it, Peter and Jane Hayes, 85 and 82 years old, have no family, and no one wants to take over the business.
And no one's visiting.
No, that's the thing. It's a huge hit. It's a big moneymaker.
Please.
Because, why don't you just wait before you make it, stick your tongue out and roll your eyes.
I can stick my tongue out if I want.
Wait for the story.
All right.
It's a huge moneymaker because it is known as Britain's worst wax museum. The wax models look nothing like their subjects, say fans of the wax museum.
It's like all wax museums.
Thousands of visitors pay £5 each to visit the seaside attraction and mock how different the models are from the actual celebrities themselves. They had a picture with the story of David and Victoria Beckham. It's ridiculous. It looks like two Gap mannequins were propped up against the wall. It's pretty hilarious. Anyway, they're looking for someone who would like to buy the wax museum and keep it open because people.
I think Kevin is now intrigued.
That one I would buy.
See? That now, I told you would like
bad
it.
Bad enough.
You with your eyes and your tongue. Nah. Charlie Sheen, he's back to his old tricks.
Oh, great.
Now that he's got that 90 episode commitment for his new sitcom, he's got all the money in the world, he's got syndication in the offing.
Yes. Now what?
He apparently, according to friends,
whoring it up.
Yeah, back to his old ways. $2,000 a day on drugs in the last 8 months. That's what he's spending. That's the rate he's spending these days.
Wow. According to friends?
According to friends who told RadarOnline.com, which is a pretty reliable gossip website. $2,000 a day on drugs for the past 8 months.
That's alleged.
Cranking out a lot of coke and porn parties.
Hmm.
Of course, the high-end call girls have been running like water in his home. Apparently, Chuck's a pretty generous friend, too. One of the ladies of the evening that came to the house mentioned that she wanted to get vaginal rejuvenation. And so Charlie wrote her a check for $25,000 so she could go get her lady all parts right. taken care of.
He'll demand proof, of course.
Sure.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Before and after.
You're going to need it after me. Yeah, you will.
I wreck you.
Winning.
Lisa just got that same surgery down in Mexico for like $25.
She did, Tijuana.
Yeah, but you don't want to go to the guy in the van down there in Tijuana.
You don't?
They did it in a taxi. Dang. Back of a taxi.
No, very steady hand you need for that surgery. And Lady Gaga says that she's happy about the weight gain that she's had.
Well, most women are.
Oh, yeah. She says like she can't believe people are talking about it, her recent 30-pound weight gain. In a world where there are wars, the economy crashing, the election, I thought this is effing ridiculous. I mean, what kind of example is that to young girls sitting at home? I thought, well, I don't really care if they think I'm fat. Because she's happy.
All right, you're fat.
And she also said, Adele is bigger than me. How come nobody says anything about it? So apparently she's very happy about her size.
What about her?
I'm overweight. You could call me fat. And yes, even obese.
Yeah. All right, we will then.
We will.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Lauren Velez from Dexter. She plays a Huerta on that show.
She's fat.
No, she's not. Nope. She's voluptuous. She I love not. Her. 46 years old is David Schwimmer. Nelly is 38. Chris Walla of Death Cab for Cutie fame is 37. And boxing and wrestling ring announcer Michael Buffer celebrates his 68th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Less than a half hour away from your chance to win your way into the VIP breakfast with Mumford and Sons. It's the latest Kevin and Bean breakfast with tiny room, huge band. You get to help us ask the questions and hear the band play live. We'll tell you more about that coming up. First, though, how about our old friend Jimmy Kimmel back home in Brooklyn for a week of shows at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. It has been fantastic must-see TV, and we couldn't be prouder of Jimmy and the response that he's received back home. We got him on the phone right now. Hey, James, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing fantastic.
What's going on?
What's it been like being back home, buddy?
It's been crazy. I mean, as you know, there was a hurricane here. Which
yeah.
What? We actually hadn't scheduled that into our week.
You picked quite a week at random, right?
I have to believe it's no coincidence. I feel like natural disasters follow me wherever I go.
Here's what I know about Jimmy. The first day I met Jimmy, and for those of you that haven't been listening for a while, Jimmy Kimmel used to work on our show. And the first day I met him, I remember going home and going, Jesus, that guy really loves Letterman. Man, oh man, does that guy like David Letterman.
The whole reason you took your show to New York for a week is to have a chance to stalk David Letterman. And then you see the hurricane, you have to cancel night one, and you're thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen the rest of the week, right?
Yeah, that was definitely something that crossed our minds. And on top of all of that stuff, we spent like $4 million to come here.
Wow.
And ABC doesn't exactly throw the money around.
No,
So it was bad to start, and it's actually been very inconvenient. But I keep complaining about myself and people's houses have burned down and stuff. So I try to keep that in mind.
I gotta tell you, watching your interview with David Letterman, I really got a new sense of how closed off he is, and how I mean, you always know.
Well, that's what I was looking to do.
Yeah, I know. You were really attacking. You know that he's sort of antisocial, he sort of has his things, but man, oh man, you were making him uncomfortable. All his body language was, he's putting his arms in front of his chest, and you were asking him to come to one of your parties, and I thought he was gonna stand up and run out, afraid.
He did actually run out. I chased him down the block. I chased him all the way back to Connecticut. Yeah, he doesn't like praise. He's not, I think most people probably aren't that comfortable with
right.
complimented, but Dave is probably number one on the uncomfortable scale. I mean,
oddly, he didn't seem antisocial to me at all, you guys.
Yeah.
Seemed about right.
What a surprise.
How many times have you met Dave before, Jimmy?
I've been on his show 8 times, so 8.
8 times.
Is there any small talk in between? I mean, do you feel like maybe you've gotten to know him a little bit?
No, there is some small talk, yeah, but it's very, very small. I mean, it's tiny.
but it's never happened where he says, hey, I'm glad you're here, let's grab a bite after the show or anything like that.
I don't think he's ever said that to anyone. In fact, Don Rickles told me, Don Rickles seems to be the only person that he'll go out to eat with afterwards, but Don said that when Dave's ready to go, he just gets up and leaves.
Really?
Yes.
I love him so much.
He's such a bean.
He really is.
Here's a little piece of tape of what we're talking about, a very short clip from the interview. And if you missed it a couple nights ago, you owe it to yourself to look up the clips. You can go to ABC.com or Jimmy Kimmel's page, and you can see these clips. Dave was the guest for the whole hour before the musical guest Vampire Weekend. This was the Halloween night show. And here's Jimmy really putting on the full court press to try to hang out with Dave.
Bang, zoom, we were
gone. Let me tell you something. If you go fishing with me and Huey Lewis,
I'm
we keep
going.
Your waiters on.
Thank you.
You don't have your waiters on when you sleep.
No, I'm not going. I can't do that.
What about softball? Could we maybe start a team?
No.
Wiffle ball?
What is it about your life you find unfulfilled? What can I do for you that you haven't been able to do for yourself?
Just live with me for a month. I think we can change everything.
Like that's what I'm doing tonight.
It was a very funny appearance. What did he say afterwards, Jimmy?
By the way, now that you play that to me, I realize this sounds like every conversation I had with you, Bean, every Friday.
That's true.
The whole time we were working there.
That is true.
I know. Believe
me. Bean is David Letterman without the talent.
Without the talent, exactly. Or the fame or the money or the girlfriends on the side.
You have a lot more animals than he does.
That's true.
A lot more.
That's true.
How did you end it? Do you feel like you made any progress at all with getting you guys together as best friends, Jim?
And not only didn't I do that, I feel like I actually took things back a few steps.
Really?
Oh.
I think my only shot at being friendly in any way or socializing with David Letterman in any way is when he's about 90 and he's in the hospital and he can't move and his son lets me in the room.
Then he doesn't have a choice, even though he doesn't want you there.
Hooked up to a respirator or something, I'll be right there at his bedside.
Now, you knew how antisocial he was.
As a nurse.
You knew how antisocial he was. That was your plan, was to really press that button as much as you could?
I felt like I could change his life, really.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure you did.
I felt like I could sweep him off his feet and
how'd that go?
Become one of the guys.
How'd that go?
Well, you saw how it went away terribly.
But you did. I mean, look, getting this late night show on ABC is the best thing that ever happened to you in terms of making your childhood dreams come true. You are actually friends with Howard Stern now, and that was, you know, another of your early heroes. You are actually friends with Huey Lewis now. You are actually friends with Mike Tyson now. So it has panned out for you in some ways, right?
Well, Mike and I aren't exactly spending the holidays together, but it has. It's just, you know, Dave doesn't have any friends, as he mentioned in the...
He said that, and I was shocked. You said, do you have anybody that you hang out with? And he's like, no.
But why did that shock you? You're working with a person who has the same answer to that question.
No, it isn't the same answer.
He
because
does have friends.
Bean has some friends. They're all in radio, Jimmy.
Are they men? Are they male friends? And are they friends he sees in person? See, Bean has friends. I mean, I would consider myself to be Bean's friend, but I never actually, I don't even believe he exists, to be honest with you.
That's highly possible. But Dave, you know, you always take for granted even the people who are not social have that small 4 or 5 people maybe that they hang out with, and you just got the idea that it's Dave and Dave alone.
Yeah, I get that sense too.
And his family, right?
It's not Dave and Jimmy though, huh?
No, it isn't. But there's only one solution to this, is we have to be forceful, and I may need your help. We may have to break into his home.
I'd rather not.
Yeah, that's got a bad track record, the breaking into Dave's
home.
Jimmy, you brought up something interesting. I want to play one more clip here. We're talking to the great Jimmy Kimmel here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Jimmy Kimmel Live airs weeknights at midnight on ABC, the final show from Brooklyn tonight with special guests Kelly Ripa and Alicia Keys. You brought up something that I thought was interesting, which
and
is
Chris there Rock was... also did something.
Oh, fantastic. Nice. Chris Rock, great. You brought up what it was like for Dave when he had Johnny Carson come be on his show, one of Johnny Carson's rare television appearances on somebody else's show. And you were saying it was kind of like that for you last night to, you know, bring in the legend. And did you feel like there was a little bit, forget the personal stuff, a little bit of the passing of the torch, like Dave's going to only be around for a couple more years on TV and he's kind of handing the baton to you as the new up-and-coming guy for your next 25 years on TV?
Well, I think with Johnny and Dave, there was definitely a passing of the torch. I think with me and Dave, it was more of like a disposable Bic lighter.
He's just going to close it and turn it off?
It's much smaller. It's less impressive. It has less significance.
Here's what Dave had to say. And, of course, as always, he was very gracious to Jimmy.
Anyway, I want to wish you the best of luck when you move the show. I think it'll be exciting. I think you're going to be perfect at 11:30. And you and everybody who have worked so hard here at whatever time you're on now. I don't, who knows when he's on now?
Well, thank you. I hope.
But I think it's going to be great, and I couldn't be happier to have you in the running.
Well, that's nice. I do appreciate that.
That was a nice moment. It was a great week of shows. Howard Stern was fun. Tracy Morgan, Sharon Jones was great. Vampire Weekend. I haven't seen last night's with Stewart and Colbert, but I bet that was a blast, too.
They were great.
Stop showing people pictures of when you were a kid, Jim.
Why?
That's not doing you any favors.
Why do you say that?
You are dorkalicious, my friend.
Well, listen, nobody thinks I was the quarterback of the football team before I got here.
Now, you'll always be the guy playing the clarinet in the band to us, Jimmy. That's
right.
For sure. Are you off next week, or are you going to be back in L.A. with new shows?
No, we're back on Monday. We're back to work.
Fantastic. There's no rest. There's not a day off for this young man.
That's
Jimmy
right.
Kimmel Live airs weeknights at midnight on ABC. We know how busy you are out there in Brooklyn. We'll be talking to your cousin Sal next hour, too, by the way.
Oh,
so
good.
Thanks.
Well, tell him I said hello.
We will. Okay. Thanks to both of you guys for carving out some time for us today, Jim.
Right.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good morning. This week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're hooking you up with tickets to see our Breakfast with Mumford & Sons and tickets to see them at the Hollywood Bowl. We do it in the 7 o'clock hour each day. I think we're doing them every day next week, too, as well, by the way.
Yep.
Right now, we want you to call if you'd like to play a game to win those tickets. You're a Mumford fan. Dial us up 1-800-520-1067. Good luck. We'll get to you in about 10 minutes. First, though, Ralph's here on a Friday with the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Bunch of movies coming out in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. Some of them in limited release. Some of them are big time blockbuster kind of movies. But I found the perfect movie for Kevin this weekend. I want him to go check out A Late Quartet.
Nope.
It's in limited release, Kevin, but I think you're going to like it.
Nope.
Why?
Is it better than The Man with the Iron Fist?
Well, that's coming out too this weekend.
Yeah.
But I think, really, for you... A Late Quartet is the movie that you'll really like to see.
Right, tell me about it.
It's about the members of a world-renowned string quartet who struggle to stay together in the face of death, egos, and lust. Come on, that sounds like you. You love the classical. You love string quartets.
I do. That's my passion.
That sounds like the kind of film for you. That film, by the way, stars Philip Seymour Hoffman, Christopher Walken, and Catherine Keener.
What? Really?
Yeah. So.
Still no.
I know. Let's talk about movies that Kevin might actually go to see. Like Flight opens this weekend. Denzel
Yay!
Washington. John Goodman. Don Cheadle. My Red State wife, Melissa Leo, also stars in this film. Story of an airline pilot who saves a flight from crashing, but the investigation into his life and the plane's malfunction leads to some troubling information. In the film, Denzel plays pilot Whip Whitaker. Whip Whitaker is his name.
That's his name. Does he know Will Wheaton?
I don't believe it. They have Miracle Whip together, I'm sure. Gives out instructions in this clip to his co-pilot while the plane is going down. Listen to how cool Denzel Washington is.
This is Object 227. We're in an uncontrolled dive. We got a jam stabilizer or something.
Oh, Lord, we're coming out of 7,000. I see nothing but acid.
When I say I want you to retract the flaps, retract the gear, trim us nose down, okay?
Turn down. What are you going to do?
Yeah. When I tell you I want you to push these forward, full throttle, can you do that? Okay. When I
wait, wait, sir. What are we doing? Why would I trim down?
We're going to roll it, okay?
What do you mean roll it?
We got to do something to stop this guy.
I love the co-pilot.
Yeah!
Holy cow.
Whip is like, listen to me. This is what we're going to do. Whip's in control.
The co-pilot's just panicking beyond words.
Well, they are crashing to their death. I think some people react differently to different situations.
I'm seeing myself right now.
The co-pilot is Beer Mug when a song runs out.
That's true. Yes. Oh, can you imagine Beer Mug?
No.
Behind the yoke of a 747 or something like that?
No. Oh.
The Man with the Iron Fists.
What I'm talking
just
about.
Just talking to RZA about that earlier today. It's just a great kung fu movie about warriors and assassins and a rogue British soldier played by Russell Crowe. RZA's in the film. He directed it. Lucy Liu, Jamie Chung. It's just a good-timey Bruce Lee-style action-adventure kung fu movie. The Man with the Iron Fists.
When you forge a weapon, you need three things. The right metal, temperatures over 1400 degrees, and someone who wants to kill. Here in Jungle Village, we got all three.
Gentlemen, warriors,
we'll see who's left standing and who's on their knees.
Is that your kung fu sound effect?
Yeah, that's my kung fu sound effect. Can't wait to see that this weekend. And lastly, for the kids, and by all accounts for everybody, great reviews coming out about Wreck-It Ralph, the new animated film starring John C. Reilly as a video game villain who decides he wants to be a hero, leaves his game, and sets out to fulfill his dream, and along the way visits a lot of other iconic video game people like Qbert and stuff like that as he goes through his adventures. I wonder if kids will even recognize some of these characters.
Yeah,
because
the games are,
are pretty old school.
Yeah, you're right.
Also, Jack McBrayer is one of the voices in this film. Sarah Silverman does the voice of the little girl in the film, Jane Lynch. Great cast. John C. Reilly, always terrific. Wreck-It Ralph. Yes, I know you're thinking of the my sex tape, Wreck-It Ralph, but this is a different. This is for the kids. The kids can actually enjoy this one.
The sex tape was Wreck-Him Ralph, though, wasn't
no,
it?
No, it was Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh.
Followed up by the sequel called Shut It, Bean. That was my other film that I made. Here's a scene from the film where John C. Reilly, as Ralph, has second thoughts about being a perpetual bad guy in a video game.
I don't want to be the bad guy anymore. You can't mess with the program, Ralph.
You're not going turbo, are you?
Turbo? No, I'm not going turbo. Come on, guys. Is a turbo to want a friend? Or a medal? Or a piece of pie every once in a while? Is a turbo to want more out of life?
Yes.
Ralph, Ralph, we get it. But we can't change who we are. And the sooner you accept that, the better off your game and your life will be.
He doesn't buy it. Ralph fights against the man, as all good Ralphs do. And the next thing you know, happiness. Happiness comes his way.
You think?
I'm pretty sure it's a kid's movie. I'm sure, pretty sure he's going to be happy at the end. So my pick for the weekend is The Man with the Iron Fist. It just looks, I haven't seen a really good kung fu movie in a really long time. I'm looking forward to that. But there's a bunch of other films you can check out this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
All right, let's get this over with.
Oh, no, we love this.
Everyone loves this game.
No one's looking forward to this.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. How about Mumford & Sons Hollywood Bowl? Both shows are sold out November 10th or the 12th. You'll be going to one of them. Plus, you'll be at our exclusive VIP breakfast with Mumford & Sons. You get a chance to ask questions, listen to them perform it. So a little game right now we like to call Does Kevin Know?
Does Kevin know? Does Kevin know? Well, there seems to be some doubt. Does Kevin know? Does Kevin know? I think it's time we all found out. Well, we know he has some knowledge, but it might be pretty small. He thinks he went to college, but he really can't recall. Does Kevin know? Does Kevin know? I think it's time we all found out.
I honestly think that and would you like to take that back are my two favorite game intros. What is it you hate about this game, Kevin? What's your problem with Does Kevin Know?
I am not proud of the fact that I have a lot. I do have a lot of knowledge. That is true. My mind is packed. I don't have access to any of it, though. And I'm not a big fan of that. You'll ask me a question, and then I'll go, sure can't put my finger on it. And then you'll say it, and I'll go, of course.
So your brain is like a hoarder's house, where everything's in there. You just can't get behind the filing cabinet to get to the place where that information is stored.
For some reason. And sometimes it can be stuff I know so well. And I know everybody sort of has this problem, but mine's extreme. Right. My brother, I'll go, hey, you?
Whichever one you are. All right, here's how it works. I ask a question. Kevin is we lower the cone of silence onto Kevin so he doesn't hear. I ask the caller a question, and then we all decide and take guesses as to whether Kevin is going to be able to come up with the answer or not. Doesn't really matter whether he does or not. It only matters whether you, the caller, correctly guesses what he's going to do. So let's start with Monica. She's going to be contestant number one on line one. As we say goodbye to Kevin, we'll see you in about 30 seconds, okay?
Hey, Monica.
Hi.
Okay.
All right. Is Kevin gone?
Yep.
Yes.
All right, Monica, like all of us here at the Kevin and Bean Show, Kevin loves the TV show Walking Dead on AMC. Does Kevin know the name of the regular character who just 2 weeks ago had his leg cut off on the show? Will he be able to come up with the name of Herschel? What do you think, Monica? You've been probably listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for a while.
Okay, if he's a fan of The Walking Dead, I hope so. Yes.
So you're gonna say yes, he'll come up with Herschel. What do you think, Lise?
Not a chance.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Of course, he'll know it if he hears it.
Right.
But will he be able to come up with it?
I couldn't come up with it. I drew a blank, so.
So Monica says yes. Lisa says no. I think I'm going to say yes. I think I'm going to give Kevin the benefit of the doubt on this. All right, let's bring him back in and see how he does.
There's also the good times of knowing that everyone's talking about you.
Welcome back, Kevin.
And you can't hear it.
Here's your question. Like all of us here at the Kevin and Bean Show, Kevin, you love the TV show The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Do you remember the name of the regular character on the show who had his leg cut off 2 weeks ago this season? 2 weeks ago, he had his leg cut off. Who is he?
His leg cut off. The guy that owned the farm. The guy that whose daughter is with Glenn. Herschel!
Yes! Monica, well done. Monica. You are in. Monica said yes.
Yes.
You said yes, Monica?
I said
yes,
no.
I had faith in you.
Good for you.
I said no you way are, in hell.
You are in the drawing. You're one step closer to winning your Mumford tickets. Please hang on.
Wait, Lisa, you said no way?
I couldn't come up with it, so no. I didn't see how you were going to.
How dare you.
I said yes, Kevin. I had your back.
All right. Good.
Let's go to Jamie on line two, please. Hi, Jamie.
Hi.
You ready to play Does Kevin Know?
I am.
All right. Let's say goodbye to Kevin.
All right. He's gone.
He is gone. Kevin loves soccer, as you know, especially his beloved Los Angeles Galaxy. He's been to the Home Depot Center to see them play visiting teams like the Vancouver Whitecaps and the Seattle Sounders. Does Kevin know the name of the Major League Soccer team from Philadelphia? Will he be able to come up with, as a Major League Soccer fan, the Philadelphia Union? What say you, Jamie?
I have faith in him. I'm going to say yes.
All right. Lisa?
No.
I'm a no on this one, too. I'm a no on coming up with the Philadelphia Union, who I never heard of before yesterday.
Nor have I.
All right, let's bring him back in.
All right, let's do this.
How's it going, Kevin?
Good. Having a great time.
You love those Los Angeles Galaxy. Big win last night over the Vancouver Whitecaps, am I right?
Yep, 2-1. I was there.
Who's the Major League Soccer team from Philadelphia? The MLS team that plays from Philadelphia.
Union?
Yeah!
He's unbelievable.
Say,
did you say yes, Jackie?
I said yes.
Nice.
Jamie said yes. Yes, she is in the drawing for Mumford & Sons. Lisa was a no again, and I was a no also on this one.
Hey, this is a key. I was out late last night at the Galaxy game. Maybe if I get no sleep.
Maybe that's the answer.
All right, I'm going away.
That's awesome.
Very impressive. All right, congratulations. Hannah is our third contestant. By the way, please note, Kevin batting 1,000 today, all right?
Not yes. a two.
All right, well, I think we only have time for one more, damn
okay.
it. Hi, Hannah. How you feeling? You ready? You ready for some good luck here?
I'm really nervous.
All right. Kevin is no fan of Taylor Swift, but we have been talking about her quite a bit lately as she has the number one album in the country. In fact, her new album sold over 1.2 million copies in its first week, more than twice as many as any other release this year. Does Kevin know the name of that Taylor Swift album? We've mentioned it several times in the show. It is called Red. Will he be able to come up with that? What say you, Hannah?
I'm going to say let's go for a perfect score.
So yes from Hannah,
yes.
Lisa?
Yes.
I kind of think so, too.
I'm going to say no on this one, but clearly I don't know Kevin after today's performance. All right, let's see how you do, Hannah. Let's bring him back in. Oops, sorry. Let's bring him back in.
Okay.
All right, Kevin, it's going to be the final question. You're 2-2 so far. Let's see how you do. We're talking about your girlfriend, Taylor Swift. You know, she's got the number one album in America. It sold over 1.2 million copies this week.
Yeah.
I'm curious as to know, as is Hannah, if you can name that album that we have talked about on this show several times in the last 2 weeks.
That's
the name of the Taylor Swift
album. We'll never get back together, that song?
That's the song. That's the lead single from this number one album, yes.
Oh, I believe it is Red. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. 3 for 3.
Yes.
Yes. And I'm upset at myself for knowing that, too. I should not know that.
You couldn't avoid it. Well, Hannah, hang on. Jamie, you two, Monica, one of you will win the tickets for Breakfast with Mumford & Sons and a chance to see him at the Hollywood Bowl. Who's it going to be, Lise?
It's Hannah.
Yay!
Hannah.
Congratulations, Hannah.
I won?
You won.
Yep.
Yesterday and I didn't win.
Well, congratulations. You won today. And we'll see you at Breakfast with Mumford & Sons. Okay, stop. Continue this later.
Wow. We need a weekend.
I love it when Ralph yells.
We stopped asking him to do stuff because of that. Wow. And you saw how great, that's how great he was. Right. That's what you're telling me.
Let's not fight. It's the holidays, okay?
Take it easy.
What holiday is it?
7:55 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here. It's the 2nd of November. Come on, Ralph. You know that.
It's a great job. It's all wonderful work.
Time for the showbiz piece.
Sure is. Hey, tomorrow night, Saturday night, 8 p.m., Kevin Smith and I. Kevin smokes an enormous amount of weed, and I get drunk, and then we make fun of people who are richer, more famous, more talented, and better looking than we are. It's a good time. It's called Hollywood Babylon at the John Lovitz Comedy Club up at Universal City Walk, 8 p.m. tomorrow night. We're going to have a blast. Come join us, won't you? You can go to thelovitz.com for more details and for tickets. And also, I want to give you a heads up tonight on NBC and all of their affiliated stations. There's going to be an all-star benefit concert special to help out the folks who have been affected by Hurricane Sandy. You'll be able to see it on HBO, Bravo, CNBC, E!, G4, MSNBC, Style, Sci-Fi, USA, and streamed at NBC.com. You won't be able to avoid this goddamn thing. You're giving. That's all we're telling you are giving right now. Coming Together, it's going to be called. And here's the lineup of performers. There will be more added, but so far we know for sure Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band will be performing. John Bon Jovi, Christina Aguilera, Sting, Billy Joel. Jimmy Fallon will be hosting, along with Matt Lauer and Brian Williams. And all of the money pledged during the telethon will go to the American Red Cross, which is doing an amazing job of helping out with all the catastrophe from Sandy. So, good stuff. I wonder if Springsteen will sing Sandy. You think he'll ever sing that
I don't song? Think. Probably not.
Sandy, yeah. You were a hurricane. You blew a lot of sand.
I don't think he'll be doing that one.
You don't think he'll
He's
be doing
been dedicating my city of ruins to the victims the last week or so.
Ah. Which he did for September 11th, I think.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, last night was the first live X Factor with your new hosts, Khloe Kardashian and Mario Lopez.
Oh, damn it.
I didn't see that. I only saw a tweet that we should have a drinking game where you drink every time Khloe says yes.
Mm-hmm.
Does she say yes?
I don't know. I didn't see it at all.
I take it? Okay.
But here's my favorite factoid about last night's debut is that it came in second in its time slot behind
It's a great pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Really?
The special, which was being aired for its 46th time on television. More people watched that than wanted to tune in to watch the X Factors.
Yeah. I heard, not that we want to see it, but I heard that Chloe was awfully nipply during the broadcast.
Well, people like Charlie Brown's pumpkins more than hers. That's how it turned out. And it looks like we may know who will be the next Spider-Man villain in the upcoming Spider-Man sequel.
Okay.
Jamie Foxx as Electro.
He has lightning come out of his fire his fingertips?
Yes. Yeah. He is electrified and uses electricity as his weapon.
All right.
A freak lightning accident causes Electro to be able to control electricity.
A lot of freak accidents in your world.
Stop it. Jamie Foxx as Electro.
Is he a good choice?
I don't know. How does that strike you?
Yeah, good.
Okay.
I mean, Jamie's capable of being larger than life sometimes.
Yeah.
I think that comes in handy when playing a supervillain. Jamie, in fact, tweeted yesterday, dressed up as Electro for Halloween last night. Costume fits well. Wink, 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 wink. See what he's doing there? Give me a little hint. A little Hinsky. A little Hinsky, as we say.
No one says that.
And Amanda Bynes is going to sue me.
Why?
Because I talked about that story where she was walking around naked after looking for a spray tan.
That's alleged.
It's the best press she's gotten in 6 months.
Yeah, apparently she has released a statement saying she plans to sue InTouch magazine for publishing that story. Here's her statement. I'm suing InTouch for printing a fake story. I'm not troubled. I don't get naked in public. I'm 26, a multimillionaire, retired.
Whoa!
Please respect my privacy.
Retired?
Yeah. Multimillionaire?
What?
That's alleged.
Sounds like Lovett's old character, Tommy Flanagan. Yeah. I'm a multimillionaire. Look, this is the woman who told, she tweeted President Obama that he had to arrest the cop who pulled her over because she doesn't drink and she wasn't drinking and driving. I think she lives in a deluded little world of her own.
Yeah.
Where she thinks she's a multimillionaire and she's retired and she wasn't walking around naked and she's going to sue magazines. So,
and I'm an excellent driver, she added.
That's right.
Never been in an accident.
Take it for what it's worth. We'll wait and see. Today's celebrity birthdays, Lauren Velez from Dexter. La Guerta.
That show's so good this year.
Yeah, the show is.
Oh, my God.
I haven't seen Sundays. I'm still behind one, but I'm looking forward to it. Great stuff between Dexter and that dude, that intern guy.
Yeah.
Who was... giving him difficulties? Yeah, I know. I'm not going to go any further than that. But I just loved that little side story that was going on there. Anyway, Lauren Velez is 48 years old. David Schwimmer, 46 years old. Nelly is 38. Chris Walla of Death Cab for Cutie is 37. And legendary boxing and wrestling ring announcer Michael Buffer turns 68. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I know we still got a lot of show coming up, including Cousin Sal in a few minutes talking about the NFL weekend. But if I can just look ahead toward Monday. Do you know what Monday is, you guys, here on the Kevin and Bean Show?
What Monday is?
Any idea what Monday is the kickoff of, the beginning of?
Yes, I do.
What?
Miss Double D 2013.
Oh, that's right.
So, ladies, if you got them, we're planning on getting them over the weekend. Be sure to be with us on Monday as we roll out the details on how you can represent the Kevin and Bean Show next year as Miss Double D.
I'm not positive if they're getting them over the weekend that they're going to be
quite ready.
They're going
to
be ready in time.
Be ready. Yeah, that's
giant size cans.
Exactly. All right. It's Friday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's a story that Ralph brought to us a couple of days ago that I think is worth discussing a little bit. Gerard Butler, who, of course, probably still is best known for being the buff dude in 300, right? And Leonardo DiCaprio, who have been good friends for some time. Apparently their bromance, as the article says, according to Star Magazine, is on the rocks because Gerard Butler is now dating a girl that Leonardo DiCaprio dated last year.
Oh.
But broke up with,
yes.
And really,
correct.
He dates everyone.
Right. Leonardo DiCaprio gets around.
Yeah.
So he broke up with this girl. Her name is Madalena Ganilla. And by the way... Yeah. You feel me? So Leo breaks up with her, and then Gerard Butler says, all right, then I'd like a shot. I'd like a go. And apparently this has really strained their friendship. It's pretty much broken up their bromance.
Their love.
Yeah.
As Ralph pointed out, you'd be hard-pressed to find any model in L.A. that Leonardo DiCaprio hasn't dated.
Right.
And Madalina Gonea is a Romanian-born model.
Yeah.
Star Magazine says, for some reason, it just hit Leo the wrong way. He wasn't extremely serious with Madalina, but they certainly had a connection.
I have a connection with her.
The source goes on to reveal that DiCaprio was so upset that he allegedly confronted his friend Gerard Butler to ask why he would want sloppy seconds. That, by the way, is such a tasteful,
that's just rude.
Such a tasteful way to phrase
that's
it, too.
That's a
isn't
guy
it?
Thing, though.
The ladies love that, don't they?
Yes, Lisa? We sure do.
You guys understand that she does take a shower between A and B, right? You guys get that. Butler apologized, according to the source, and explained that he and Madalina had also had an instant connection. So apparently she just generates connections wherever she goes. But, I mean, I think this gets us into the topic, and it's easy to say bros before hoes, but you could argue that Leonardo DiCaprio dated her apparently a year ago. Apparently it wasn't super serious. It's not like he was engaged to her or married to her or she was a longtime girlfriend. It was just one of many girls that he dated. Does he have proprietary rights on her for the rest of his life now? Like, no one he knows can ever date her?
That's crazy.
Well, it's...
There's got to be a statute of limitations.
It's a weird thing with celebrities, though, because he has made himself, you know, with... He has made his way around with a lot of supermodels.
Dated all the hot ones.
Right, so...
That's just greedy.
So for the rest of us, it's not the same because we don't have the numbers that he has. But it goes both ways. A girl gets mad at another girl for dating her ex-boyfriend.
Right.
Right.
Or a guy gets mad at another guy for dating his ex-girlfriend. It goes both ways, but it can really strain a friendship.
Well, we want to hear from you if you've been in a situation where your ex has dated somebody that – wait, help me rephrase that. where your friend has dated your ex.
Yes.
Right? Is that what we're looking
your
for?
Your friend has dated your ex, and that strained things. It made things a little bit harder for you two to get along.
Yeah.
So we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. The other side of this argument, though, is that even if Gerard Butler really liked this girl, she did date his friend Leonardo DiCaprio. Aren't there a million other girls out there that he can date without going back into Leo's past and picking one of them? Aren't
yes.
There, I mean, isn't it possible?
Yes, but did I mention? Yeah.
Yeah, you did. No, you.
So
you
how hot is that. She? Does that matter?
And Lisa brought up an excellent point yesterday, and I hate to admit that because she's a girl, but yesterday she said, look, even with regular people, if this situation happens, even if you're over the person that your friend is now dating, do you really want to be running into them all the time as part of your circle of friends? Because if you're still hanging out with your friend and now your ex is your friend's girlfriend, you're going to be seeing her all the time. Maybe that's not your first choice.
Right. Yeah, that seems like that might be awkward. But it also seems like you could not include her in everything unless you got serious, you know.
Well, and again, I do think there has to be a period of time after which it's okay. I mean, you've got to be over somebody after a year
this
or two,
this was supposedly
right?
a year. He dated her about
a
year
I
ago.
I think that's BS.
I do, too.
Now, do you think it's required to go to the friend and say, hey, listen, I'd like to date your ex? Do you think you need permission?
I don't think it's
required.
Do you
think you need a blessing?
I don't think it's permission. I think it's informing.
I don't think it's – yeah, I don't. I think it's more if you want to make sure that your relationship with your best friend continues – it's just the...
it's a courtesy.
It's a
light heads
thing
up.
To do.
It's a nicer way to go about it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take one call before the break, and then we're going to get to your stories, too, how this situation screwed up a friendship for you at 1-800-520-1067. I'm afraid that caller one is named Weech. I hope that's not true.
Weech? Is that your name?
Hello?
Your name is Weech.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, yeah, but more importantly, Weech.
Yeah.
Is that short for something?
It's a name I had since I was little for my family, given to me.
Okay.
Short for Wichona.
Okay. Okay, there we go. That makes sense. All right, what happened?
What if your name was Asshor?
Who are the players involved in your tale of woe?
Well, I went out with this girl because she had, like, you guys were saying, some nice, big, juicy cans. And yes. Played with her for about a month or so. And then my best friend for years asked me permission, hey, can I go out with her? I said, yeah, why not? And one thing led to another. They started getting real serious. They ended up getting married, having kids.
Right.
And at one party, we got so drunk that one time I asked him, I said, hey, have you kissed her yet? And he said, yeah, I kissed her. I said, so how do I taste, mother effer?
And wait a minute.
Oh, my God.
Hold on a second, Weech. Your friend came to you and said, hey, would it be cool? And you said yes?
Yeah. I told him, yeah, because he told me he wanted it just for the same...
Right.
I did.
Right.
So I said, yeah, who am I to deny him of that?
Look, I don't know anything about your friend, but I think she upgraded, my friend. I really do. I think when she left you for him, which I think is what really happened, she did the right thing.
Everyone always upgrades when they leave me.
I don't doubt it for a second. All right, Weech, don't ever call us again. Thank you, though. Matt, you hang on. Stewie as well. 1-800-520-1067. We'll hear your stories next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Okay, loud, loud.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 23 minutes after 8 o'clock on the world-famous K-Rock.
Jimmy Kimmel's Cousin Sal, which makes him America's Cousin Sal, joins us in about 15 minutes or so with his picks for the NFL weekend, if you're a betting person. Right now, though, talking about the story out of Star Magazine, it reports that Leonardo DiCaprio and Gerard Butler, their friendship is on the rocks because Gerard Butler is dating somebody that Leonardo DiCaprio used to date. And the bromance is busted. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Who do you like? Who do you want to go to first? We got a lot of calls to get to.
Well, this is how it can go terribly wrong. Let's go to Jonathan, because a lot of times people just think, well, sure, if you just date him and move on, no big deal.
Right.
But when it becomes permanent, it becomes much more of a hassle. Jonathan, hi.
How's it going?
Good, thanks. So what happened in your situation?
Okay, my girlfriend who I was with for 3 years, we're pretty close. Our relationship came to an end, and it was kind of mutual. It was already kind of falling apart, but one of my best friends who I grew up with, he ended up, just kind of tagging along our group, and then sooner or later after we split up.
And they ended up getting married. I have to cut to the I have to cut to the end. I'm sorry.
Wow, I wonder why you guys broke up.
They ended up getting married. So now she's always around, or you're not friends with them anymore?
Well, the thing is, I'm best friends with her sister. So, I was around the group all the time, but we avoided each other because him and I hated each other.
Okay.
And nice.
Yeah, and eventually it got to the point where, okay, you know what? She asked me, she's like, do you mind if I bring them around? You know, it's been so long, they're already married, they have one, one child.
Right.
And, it doesn't make sense, that, our group should be like this. So, I kind of just took the big step, I was like, all right, just bring him along, we'll see how it happens.
And it all ended happily ever after. Thank you for the call, Jonathan. We very much appreciate it.
You're out of time for Jonathan.
You're the best.
Let's go to Carla. Now, Carla was the girl in the middle. She's the one who the boys were fighting over. This should be interesting. Hi, Carla. Welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi. I dated this guy in college for quite a while, and then I met his friend, and I kind of broke up with him to hook up with a friend.
Right.
So a couple months later, started dating the friend. They ended up getting into a fist fight.
Who did?
And it's been about 10 years. We've been married for 8 years, and they haven't talked since.
Who got in a fist fight? The two guys?
The two guys, my husband and his friend that I dated.
So your husband and his friend have not talked in 10 years?
Wow. They haven't talked in 10 years. And I feel real bad because they were childhood friends. They were buddies since, elementary school. So,
well, you're a whore. You should feel bad.
Now, hold on a second.
I know.
She's not a whore. So, wait. So,
I'm just kidding.
Let me ask you this, Carla. Who's being who's being so immature that they can't get past the fact that you dated one of them and married the other? At some point, if they're childhood best friends, don't they go, yeah, that was crazy that happened, but thank God we survived it.
Is it husband or best friend?
The best friend.
Best friend
feels really bad. He was, totally head over heels in love. He thought we were going to get married.
Right.
He had these, wild, crazy dreams that we were going to end up happily ever after. And because it didn't happen, and I ended up having happily ever after with his friend.
Right.
He's super bitter about it.
Did he end up with somebody else? Is he happily married now, too?
Oh, unfortunately not. He doesn't have a girlfriend. He's not married. I feel really bad.
He sits in his house. It's filled with trash and drinking.
But she did a loser.
And crying.
And pictures of Carla on the wall, by the way.
I miss Carla.
So that, now it comes into sharp focus here. You're the only girl who would sleep with him in his whole life. That's why he's so sad. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Carla.
Let's go to Lana. I think we have a lesbian catfight going on here on line three. Hi, Lana. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
All right. What's happening here? Who's dating who?
Okay. I have had girlfriends throughout the last few years or so. I have a straight friend, supposedly, who always ends up sleeping with all of my ex-girlfriends somehow. And she's currently doing it right now. I just found out the other night at dinner. My ex-girlfriend, about 3 years ago, is now married to a guy. So So she's like, I would have been up there. And I'm like, what? And I spent the night. I'm like, what? Then I find out that they're together. She's like the girlfriend before that at a party, at one of my parties. I see them together, and they have sex, like, regularly. I'm like, so you know what? Find your own hot lipstick lesbians to be with. Why do you even go to my exes? Oh, don't be contracted.
Hey, Len.
Len is on fire.
Hey, Lena. Lena.
Yeah.
Get off the meth. No, I'm serious. Really, you've got to stop meth.
Or be a get a reality TV show. I want to see you on TV. I want to see you and your girlfriends on a TV show. God bless you. You are awesome. We will have to leave it there. Cousin Sal's next on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock.
Cousin Sal's theme song right there.
Is that what they're saying? Sal. Is that what they're saying? I didn't realize that.
Sal.
Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. More tickets for you to join us for our exclusive breakfast with Mumford & Sons. We've got them for you in the 9 o'clock hour today. Then you can win them at noon, 3, and 6 p.m. again today. Details at KRock.com. Speaking of Cousin Sal, he joins us from Brooklyn on the phone right now. Hey, Sal.
Hey, forget about... Oh, look what's happened to me. I can't even think like a normal person. What's happening, guys?
Sal, I know you guys have been ridiculously busy putting on the TV show every night, but what has it been like for you and Cousin Jimmy to go back to the old neighborhood and see the old neighbors that you probably don't get to keep in touch with much?
Oh, it's a lot of fun. I mean, there's, you know, I mean, the real challenge has been putting family members on the list. This auditorium holds like 800 people. And each night, 650 seats are filled by people who claim to or are actually related to us. And then afterwards, we get to meet them, and they complain about how crappy their seats were. So it's a lot of fun.
That sounds like a good time.
Yeah,
so weird to see you guys going door to door, basically, in the old neighborhood and knocking on the door of that, you know, the house where Jimmy grew up and with all the kids that you guys used to play with and stuff. And a lot of them still live in the neighborhood, right?
Absolutely. We had we actually tracked down the bully, the guy I used to rub
Tommy Black.
In the cement. Tommy Black. He made it, yeah. Yeah, and he's not changed. Jimmy's just as terrified now as he was 35 years ago.
I retweeted Cousin Sal's video that he put up of him answering the door for Halloween.
Yes.
The little poor little trick-or-treaters, and Cousin Sal's like pouring a giant bag of sugar into his basket and stuff. It's very funny. You should check
that
out.
Sal loves to terrorize little children. Anyway, Jimmy Kimmel Live is going to be its final night in Brooklyn tonight on ABC at midnight with special guests Kelly Ripa, also Chris Rock, and Alicia Keys. And by the way, nice shout-out from Howard Stern on the air this week, too, on The Jimmy Show. That was kind of cool.
What did he say? He complained that I came to visit him for 90 seconds. In the
he did. He was complaining about what a pain in the ass it was to have Cousin Sal hanging onto his leg in the dressing room or something. It was pretty funny.
You know, it's hard, right. And you know how Jimmy is. Jimmy's like, you must visit Howard Stern before the show. I'm like, oh, it's just going to be, he doesn't even shake hands. He'd be 5 pounds and everything, and it's going to be bad. So I go and visit him. I swear to God, it was a minute and a half. And then all he does is complain the next day that the family's in the dressing room.
So. All right, we got the pleasantries out of the way. Let's talk football. Grantland.com is where you can read the Cousin Sal, all about the NFL picks for the weekend, and, of course, at the Cousin Sal on Twitter. Not the best week you've ever had here on K-Rock last week, Sal, with an 0-3 record.
No, 1-2. I had the Giants, didn't I?
Dave told us 0-3. I don't know. He keeps track of such things.
That guy needs to be fired like 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, 1-2. The Steelers plus 3.5 over the Giants.
Right. Well, that's this week. Yeah
those are this week.
Oh, that's this week. Okay.
Count that as a loss already?
Yes. All right.
Your record is going to continue.
Let's start with that game. The Steelers are out of the ridiculous bumblebee throwback jerseys. They're back in the real uniforms. They are playing the New York Giants. What say you, Sal?
Yeah, well, despite their uniforms, and you saw those, they really do look like a hive full of bumblebees shot a lifetime worth of diarrhea in Florence Henderson's vagina.
That's pretty accurate.
Florence Henderson's vagina, I really do. But I like what I saw from the Steelers last week against the Redskins. They played that old school tough guy Steelers football, and you know I don't think they're wearing a throwback this week. Their cornerbacks are playing better. They got this guy Jonathan Dwyer is running up a storm. I feel like Eli Manning's typical fourth quarter comeback falls short this week. Steelers 23, Giants 17. Take the 3.5 points.
Wow, all right.
All right, you got some good news for a change for Ralph's Philadelphia Eagles. They're playing the Saints. What's going on there?
Yeah, it's a Monday night game. I think this is a kitchen sink game for the Eagles. Their coach, Andy Reid's about to be fired. Michael Vick's about to be demoted. And if nothing else, given every snarky sports center anchor the opportunity to unveil a Michael Vick doghouse reference. Yeah, he slaughters dogs in the offseason.
Right, yeah.
But I'll spare you mine. But what better time for the Eagles to get it together against an opponent who
boast the worst defense, like possibly of all time. The Saints are 30th in points allowed. They give up 475 yards a game. Their defense is more penetrable than a Kardashian at an NBA All-Star game after party. I really believe that. I do. Both squads are desperate. Philly's more desperate of the two. I like the Eagles in a minor upset. Lots of points, 35-30.
Wow. The right. Saints should consider a bounty. I think that would help their defense.
Yeah, anything at this point, yeah.
And finally, the Seattle Seahawks have Minnesota coming to town at CenturyLink Field. How do you think that's going to go?
Dean, this is my best of all three. I probably picked against your Seahawks in my Grantland column, six of their eight games, but they're 3-0 at home. They have two turnovers at home as compared to 11 on the road. It's a huge game for them if they want to stick around this playoff picture. And they've been unlucky of late, whereas the Vikings have just been playing bad, and they were blown out by the Bucs at home last Thursday. I see Seattle pounding the Vikes quarterback, Christian Ponder. Marshawn Lynch takes over on the ground. This one's not even close. Seahawks 30, Vikings 13. Give the 4 points.
Wow. How about that? Seahawks minus four over Minnesota, Steelers plus 3.5 over New York, and the Eagles plus 3 over the Saints. I wanted to ask you about one more football-related thing, Sal, while we have a minute. We got you on the phone. A lot of people six, 7 weeks into the season now, are complaining about the quality of the play of the Thursday night NFL games. Bill Simmons has been talking about this a lot, saying that it's just not enough time for the players. They are poorly prepared. It's bad football. It's the NFL watering down the product. What do you think?
First of all, that Bill Simmons, he doesn't know a GD thing about football.
Okay. All right.
So that's it. No, it's right. I mean, they do put the garbage games on Thursday night, whereas Monday's supposed to get the cream of the crop and Sunday night with the NBC.
But is that because they have more time to prepare, or is it just they just schedule them that way?
No, if you look at the teams, they're purposely not as good. You know, they get the last pick of the games. But, you know, I like it. The worst thing for me is having to sort through 10 games on a Sunday afternoon, early afternoon. So if you could spread them all out during the week, that's better for me.
Yeah, last night, for instance, San Diego versus Kansas City. Not a lot of people in America are on the edge of their seat over the victor of that one, I guess.
Yeah, so I actually had a prop. I said, I don't know what would be higher, that San Diego-Kansas City rating, overnight rating, which is 1.8, or the Lakers wins this year. So you could actually
that. All right, you can read much, much more about the NFL on Grantland.com. Follow Sal on Twitter at VCousinSal, and be sure to watch him on the TV tonight with his cousin Jimmy Kimmel at midnight on ABC Live from Brooklyn. Thanks, Sal. Have a great weekend, man.
Thanks so much, fellas.
I don't want to brag or anything, but I got to be on AM radio yesterday, so it was kind of a big deal.
Okay, who's that supposed to impress?
Everybody. I was on KNX yesterday, you guys.
Oh,
hey,
no.
Come on.
Didn't play it off.
No, Keyboard Cat. I was on KNX yesterday talking about organ donation, which I was very excited about because they're on AM where all the cool shows are. FM is for losers.
Bean loves AM radio, and to me, that's for 85 plus. I hear this. I hear the paparazzi are bored. I hear that.
I think you do.
It is for 85 plus, and your point is, those are my people.
It's
come
for
85 on.
Plus. All right, time for the...
I'm just saying what a thrill it was, and I just wanted to kind of rub it in everybody's face that none of you got to be on AM yesterday. That's all.
Yeah, we're pretty bummed.
I Ralph's kick here. Your ass for wasting my time.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I've got tickets to give away to a very special advanced screening of a movie that I have seen and loved and can't wait to see again. The new 007 film, Skyfall.
Yay!
Daniel Craig returns as secret agent James Bond. The movie is released in theaters everywhere on Friday, November the 17th. Our screening will be on November the 7th on the Sony Studios lot. You actually go to the movie lot itself to see the movie. You'll see it before everybody else, which is very cool. I want to give it to some true Bond fans, though, so here is the trivia question for today. First five people who get through with the correct answer at 1-800-520-1067 will get a pair of passes to see our advanced screening of Skyfall. Ian Fleming, the creator of James Bond, who wrote the James Bond books, which, of course, led to the legendary film franchise. When he was looking to name his secret agent creation, he wanted a flat-sounded, almost boring name to be in contrast with this secret agent's flamboyant job and lifestyle. Where did he find the name James Bond? Where did he find it? Real Bond fans will know the answer to this.
Gold Bond medicated cream.
No, that's not correct. I'll give you a hint. James Bond was an author. He was an author of a book. If you know the name of the book, 1-800-520-1067. That is the number to call. I was sitting right there on Ian Fleming's coffee table, and he said, yeah, that's it. That's the name for me. Ah, Amanda Bynes. She's the best.
She is the best.
this out-of-control, troubled actress was reportedly walking around a tanning salon in New York City last week.
That's alleged.
She was in the spray tan booth when she realized they didn't have any protective goggles, so she walked out to the lobby to get some. Oh, I forgot to mention she was completely nude.
Sorry, this is where this goes.
That's alleged.
She walked out of the room completely naked, In Touch magazine says. She didn't seem to care what everyone else that everyone else saw. She was naked. She seemed totally out of it. There was definitely something wrong with her, says a witness who was at the location at the time. Well,
naked.
Amanda Bynes is flipped out, saying she's going to sue In Touch magazine because that story never happened. I'm suing In Touch for printing a fake story. I'm not troubled. I don't get naked in public. I'm 26, a multimillionaire, and I'm retired. I'm also Iron Man. I'm a dolphin.
Yeah, what's up?
I swim through the sky. I'm a pilot. Please respect my privacy, she added to the statement. Here's the thing. How can you believe a woman who locks herself in a changing booth for hours at a time or...
Has five car accidents in 5 days.
Says she's an excellent driver and she never drinks after they pull her over for drinking and driving. She's choking on a pipe behind the wheel at Home Depot. I mean, she doesn't have a great track record of stability. We can say,
that's alleged.
They probably made that story up. I don't know who to believe in this situation, so I'm going to believe In Touch magazine because I like the idea of her walking around naked.
Me too.
Me too.
Naked?
Naked.
Naked.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
While we're talking about naked. Orlando Bloom, he's one of the luckiest guys on the planet. He is married to Miranda Kerr.
Yes.
Victoria's Secret supermodel. She has just been named by the British version of Esquire magazine as the sexiest woman alive. Despite her near-perfect physicality. The magazine says it's her fun, flirtatious spirit that makes her attractive. Miranda has also said she believes in celebrating the female figure and embracing what we're given. Yeah! Yeah! I don't even know what that means.
But embrace it.
Honey Boo Boo, America's sweetheart, has problems.
You think?
Apparently her mom, June, is more worried about training her for the runway than for the toilet.
Oh.
Yeah, this week in the National Enquirer, it has photos of Alana Thompson, who's 7, by the way, still wearing pull-ups.
No.
Honey Boo Boo is not toilet trained.
Feel sad.
Yeah.
7.
She's 7 and wearing the pull-ups. The pull-up. The pull-up diapers.
And aren't you like 2, maybe 3 by the time you're toilet trained?
It's usually between 2 and 3. Sometimes as late as 4. It depends. But usually by 4 you've got that taken care of.
Do we know for a fact that June has that taken care of? Or is she also wearing that?
I think maybe she just doesn't ever go to the bathroom. That's why she's just ballooned up to the to the Zephyr size that she is. 7 years old, still wearing pull-ups. Somebody step in.
No kidding.
It's not funny anymore.
Not me, though. That's...
This family is in crisis.
Yeah.
Reality television. Speaking of reality television, you watching that Couples Therapy over there in VH1?
No.
Not even a little bit.
With Courtney Stodden and Doug Hutchinson? Come on, you're missing out.
Oh, yeah. That
Where
sounds
she says in group therapy the first week, sometimes I forget I'm married. I need help with that. Come on.
She really said
best.
That?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, the producers of Couples Therapy came to Courtney, and she's very sad about this. They asked her to dial down...
The dumbness?
The sexuality.
No.
You should see what she wears.
Then that's the approved stuff. She wanted to wear other stuff that they wouldn't let her wear on the show. Daisy Dukes and just bras and stuff. She wanted to walk around like a stripper. And producers of a reality television show went to her and said, yeah, you have to be less of a whore.
Really?
You're too whorey for our show. Usually it's the opposite. They want as much whore as possible.
Right.
Courtney Stodden out-whored them.
She's too whorey. Huh.
Isn't that something? Yeah, she is unhappy that they made her change a lot of her wardrobe because she would like to dress more of herself, she says.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys shocked that those two are still married?
No. She's got all the time in the world.
He seems probably desperate, and she seems like she's getting some limelight out of it.
She could get divorced next year and still be divorced at 18.
Yeah, but I just I just felt like this was one of those deals where he married her because she wouldn't have sex with him until she did, until you know he did. And then now that it's been a while, he has to wake up and go, wow, this girl's an idiot. I don't want to spend any more time with her.
He laughed on that show and said, yeah, I'm raising my wife.
Yeah, he's got
his own.
He thinks
it's great.
He thinks the best.
Okay.
Ew.
And the celebrity website Bossup.
What's Bossup?
It's a celebrity gossip website.
I know, but what does that
mean? Is that black gossip? Is that what it might be?
No.
Okay.
It's just Bossup.
Okay.
B-O-S-S-I-P. I guess boss gossip, Bossup.
Okay.
We spent a lot of time worrying about Bossup. It's just where you go for this
story. Okay, all right.
It's called Racks on Racks on Racks, Bra Sizes of the Rich and Famous.
Okay.
And they have ranked the natural boob size of your favorite celebrities.
I'm a fan of Bossup.
So you can see where they rank from teeniest to wow! Bottom of the list, Rihanna.
Yeah.
Rihanna with a 34B. Who do you think are the top of the list? Top of the list. These are like legitimate celebrities. These aren't like people known.
Kate Upton.
Like porn stars and everything. Kate Upton is a 34D, which is wonderful and magical.
Right.
But she's only fifth. Really? Fifth from the top.
I am going to say it has to be Kat Dennings.
No.
Well, that's
really?
A good guess,
where is she on the list?
I don't see her on the list here.
Well, that's an oversight.
Beyonce, 36D. Then Kim Kardashian is a 36D plus. Tyra Banks is a 34DD. And at the top of the list, Sofia Vergara is a 36DD.
Okay.
They're pretty spectacular there. So get over there to Bossup for whatever reason they call
it. It's my favorite
Bossup
site.
And it
is an African American gossip site. That's what it is.
Well, there you go.
The premier destination for African American and black celebrity gossip.
Anything else, Bean? You're doing a 60-second commercial, or what's happening?
Today's celebrity birthdays.
We have a winner, if you'd like.
Oh, yeah, my trivia question. Yeah. I forgot all about that. I think Jonathan was the first guy to call through. Jonathan, where did Ian Fleming come up with the name James Bond?
He got it from a book, Birds of the West Indies.
Birds of the West Indies is correct. James Bond was an ornithologist, and he took that boring name and slapped it on a secret agent and started a legend. Congratulations, Jonathan. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, okay?
I have a quick request.
Yes.
Can you guys link me to the Rack, Rack, Rack books?
Yeah, we'll get right on that. Thank you.
Matt, Jeffrey, Nicholas, and Karina also had the right answer. We're going to send them to see Skyfall before anybody else.
Why are our listeners funnier than we are?
Oh, they got...
That's not cool.
They have less drugs in their system, I'm guessing. Today's celebrity birthday is Chris Walla of Death Cab for Cutie. Is 37 years old today. He so should be the guitarist for Dishwalla. His name's Chris Walla.
Yeah.
His name's not Chris Cutie. His name's not Chris Death Cab. That'd be a cool name if your name was Chris Death Cab. 37 years old today. Nelly is 38 years old. David Schwimmer turns 46. Lauren Velez of Dexter fame turns 48. And Michael Buffer, legendary boxing and wrestling announcer. He is 68 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So this season for the Lakers is just a wash, right?
Forget
about this year. We chalk it up to a rebuilding year, and maybe they'll win a game next year.
Well, once we fire the coach, if we fire that coach, if we get rid of Mike Brown, that's what needs to be done. We've lost two games.
Matt Money Smith is on the phone from the nationally syndicated Petras and Money Show. How are you, Matt?
I am great. I'm still trying to pull apart some dollar bill $5 stars, you bastards. You bastards.
That was a pretty good one.
That was the best you've ever done. That was impressive.
Paid off my baseball bet that I lose every year to Matt with origami. So he got an envelope filled with, I guess it would have been 20 stars each made of $5 $1 bills. So if you want to spend them, it's really more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah, well, and here's the problem. I have three young daughters, and they were so impressed that they wanted Daddy to pull them apart and show them how to fold it. So, I mean, I cannot begin to tell you how much I don't like you.
Love it.
I really can't.
Love it so
much.
Well,
I'm glad you enjoyed it. All right, let's address this Mike Brown thing. It was the third quarter of the first game of the season that people started booing the coach of the Lakers, Mike Brown. What the hell's going on, Matt?
Well, you know, I mean, everybody looks at this talent and figures there's only one way to screw this up, and that's by having a completely inept head coach. And they, you know, Mike's in a bad situation. He's following Phil Jackson. The Laker fans expect, you know, an 82-0 season followed by a championship with zero losses in the playoffs. Kobe will average 60 points a game. And that's what the casual Laker fan.
That's absurd, though, right?
But that's Laker fan. I mean, that's just having worked with this team and been with this team as long as I was, that's how they think.
Money used to do the after the game phone calls, and wow, that you would just get people that would just sum it up with, "I didn't like the third quarter. Let's get rid of fill in the blank."
Yes, exactly. And Mike's in an impossible spot.
But he was the coach last season, and the Lakers had a good year.
They had a good defensive year to start the season, and that's kind of what that's where he built his career, is on defense. He's a Greg Popovich, who's the head coach of the Spurs. They're always a fundamentally sound team, especially defensively. And his Cleveland teams, when he was there as their head coach, were always either one or two in the league in defense. So that's the big problem now, is you have a three-time defensive player of the year in Dwight Howard. You have a former defensive player of the year in Ron Artest. You know, an 11-time all-defensive team in Kobe Bryant. And it's the worst defensive team in the league through two games. So,
well, they gave up 116, right, to Portland the other night?
116 to a rookie point guard and a bunch of young
rookie
dudes.
Point guard scored 116 points?
No, the whole team. The rookie point guard, you know, came from that basketball factory, Weber State. So
sure.
You've got to expect he's going to have an immediate impact.
Look, I remember Miami when they first got the dream team on paper. It took them a whole season to get on
track. It took them 17 games. They started out 9-8, you know, and there were calls that we got to bring Pat Riley down from the front office. Spoelstra doesn't know how to juggle this talent. He's the head coach, and he's still the head coach. But after they started 9-8, they ripped off 20 wins in their next 21 games. So it took them a minute to figure it out. Now, they didn't win the championship, but they went to the finals,
right?
You know, and they lost in, I think, six games. So, you got to give it time.
You have to give it time, obviously, and I think any reasonable person knows that. Tell folks what the Princeton-based offense is that has caused so much controversy. There are a lot of people, Maybe the casual fans you speak of, who say, hey, why is he trying something so wacky when we know what these guys can do with another offensive plan?
Basically, the Princeton offense can be best known in Los Angeles as the offense that humiliated the defending champion UCLA Bruins in the mid-90s. Remember, Princeton knocked them out in the first round. And you'll hear the players say it's a read-based offense. It's sort of like the triangle where you have Phil Jackson, which is what the Lakers ran to win their five titles. You come down the floor, you assess what the defense is trying to do, who they're going to double, which side of the floor they're going to flood, meaning they're going to put more players on, and then you call a play. So what people are angry about.
Isn't that every offense?
Well, here's what people are upset about. How did Steve Nash make his bones and win two MVPs in an offense that was titled 7 seconds or less, which is haul ass down the floor and get a shot up in the first 7 seconds? We're not playing on a 24-second clock.
Oh,
we're playing on a 7-second clock. So that's how Phoenix became the most exciting team in the league. Steve Nash won two titles, became the best point guard in the league, and now you've got that weapon that is so good executing that offense, just walking up the court and throwing the ball to a teammate and standing around. And that's not what Steve Nash does.
Right.
Gotcha.
So that's where people are freaking out.
Now, let me ask you this question. I think it's absurd that people are calling for, you know, Mike Brown to be replaced. Down the road, do you think that's what's going to happen?
Yeah.
If
this team doesn't win, at least the Western Conference, you know, this team, I believe, has to. Here's the one caveat I'll put out there, though. Jim Buss hired Mike Brown. That was his call. You know, according to, you know, if you want to believe some people, that was a big Jim Buss thing.
Okay.
I like this guy, Mike Brown. You know, there's speculation that they liked Rick Adelman a little bit more, a couple people in the front office. And, you know, he's had a great career, you know, in Sacramento and Portland and Houston.
He
did a great job with Minnesota last year. The offense he runs is more similar to what the triangle was, and it's called the flex offense, and that probably would have been a more natural progression for this team. But, you know, when you bring in Mike Brown, you're talking about someone that couldn't win a title with LeBron James, that LeBron James to some degree snubbed, and, you know, that's the view of him. Oh, he didn't like playing for Mike Brown, and that's one of the reasons why he left.
Okay, now you've led me into my next question, which is, we've heard what the fans have to say, and they're very vocal. It seems to me like Kobe Bryant is standing up for this coach and saying, he's our guy, I want to play for him, and I think we can win with him.
Yeah, Kobe likes Mike. I mean, you know, they get along. And
Kobe, was it yesterday or the day before, told the fans to shut up?
Yeah.
I love that.
Shut up. And you know, and that's just Kobe. Here's what you're going to see tonight, you know, in this Laker-Clipper game. And you're going to see Kobe take about 9,000 shots and try to win this game on his own. Now, that's good and that's bad when you have all kinds of talent, but when you hear Kobe speak like that, and, you know, I hear that he's pretty frustrated with these two losses and that the team's not playing better defense.
He should be, and they should be.
Yeah, it has all the makings of a Kobe 70-point game. You know, win or lose, he's going to go down right with the ship.
I won't see that game, Money, unless I can come to your house and watch it, because I still don't have the appropriate channels in order to see Lakers games.
Yeah, there is that whole thing. They're still trying to figure out the old Time Warner Sportsnet. But, you know, I always say the internet is there for a reason. And if you poke around a little bit, you might be able to find something.
King of Mexico just told me this game's on ESPN, so you can watch at least this one you can see.
Yes, this one is a nationally televised game. Exactly.
Great.
Yes. This one
fantastic.
Is nationally. And, you know, like I said before when we were talking about that, I think 28 of the Laker games are nationally televised. So, hey, so far you haven't missed anything.
All right. All right. In 30 seconds, before we say goodbye to our friend Matt Money Smith on the Petras and Money Show, hear him weekday afternoons on AM 570. A few words about the Clippers. Obviously, it's early in their season as well, but at least they started with a win. How are you liking what you're seeing there?
Well, a few words to me would be three. That constitutes few. So here they are. Fat Lamar Odom.
Okay.
I thought they looked pretty good the other night when they.
I do like him. I do like him. Lamar's out of shape. It's just funny to see him jiggling around out there.
He is fat.
I do like that team. My only concern is they got a lot of dudes. And when you're talking about 70, 80 minutes between Blake Griffin and Chris Paul, there's only about 150 minutes to go around to the rest of that team that's pretty accomplished and is going to want their shots and going to want their time. And, you know, Vinny Del Negro, I don't know if he's the coach that has to figure out how to massage those egos and budget those shots. So that's my only concern. Other than that, I really, really like that team, especially the guy they signed in the offseason, Jamal Crawford.
Gotcha, Money. You're the best, man. Thanks for coming on. And don't spend all those $1 bills in one place this weekend, all right?
God, do I hate you.
We all do. Thank you.
Hi, it's Lisa. You know, I have only two TVs in my house. One is in the living room. There's another in the spare bedroom. And the one in the bedroom isn't actually hooked up. I only have house guests like a couple of times a year. So I don't really want to pay for an extra cable box for 2 weeks out of 52. Yes, I am cheap. And it is no fun to stay at my house. But with Uverse TV from AT&T, that would not be an issue. I could have as many TVs as I wanted. I could put them anywhere. With Uverse's wireless receiver, you can move two TVs into the same room. You put a TV in the kitchen. You can move it into the den or the spare bedroom. It's all up to you. And all it takes is an AT&T Uverse wireless receiver and a power outlet. Then you just connect the receiver to the TV. You are not tied to the TV outlet. And now for a limited time, you can get a free wireless receiver with a qualifying plan. Call 1-877-ONLY-ATT today. Visit an AT&T store or click on att.com/freeyourtv.
Hey, it's that Ralph Garman guy with the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Ralph.
Yeah. Now, whoop the woo.
Don't do that again.
In my thrift shop, buying all my T-shirts.
You're not a fan of the Macklemore and Ryan Lewis song?
Oh, it's magical. It's magical. I want to hear more about his adventures in a thrift shop. What other kind of things did he buy? Besides that broken keyboard stuff. This makes me sad. Because I love this show, and I loved its star, Sarah Shahi, Fairly Legal.
Oh,
found out.
Officially canceled by the USA Network. Yeah.
Well, she'll get something else.
Surely
I guess
did.
Character doesn't matter there at at USA.
You want to try it again?
No. they understand. They see how angry I am. I'm apoplectic.
You were concerned when you saw she had taken another television job already that's the writing was on the wall, right?
Yeah, she has an arc on Chicago Fire. So she's joining that cast for at least a little bit. And I've heard rumors that she may have another series in the offing as well. So there may be hope for fans
great.
Of Sarah Shahi. And we miss her and love her and hope she'll come back soon.
It's the only possible thing that could have gotten me to consider tuning into Chicago Fire is hearing this news. There's nothing about the commercials for that show that makes me think I would like it.
They sure are an impossibly good-looking fire company over there.
Yes, they are.
Is that on the CW?
No, it's on NBC.
That's how they cast.
It's on NBC, and they're impossibly good-looking.
They're ridiculous. It looks like a Abercrombie & Fitch ad or something.
And I know firemen are famous for being attractive, and women love them and all, but seriously... Silly, good looking over there. Everybody, men, women, the dog is good looking.
Great looking dog.
Truck's like a Ferrari fire truck. It's just madness over there in that company.
It's hot world.
Yeah. You remember that that actor Jesse Spencer who played the Australian doctor on House?
Sure.
Super good looking Chance. Is that what his name was? Mm-hmm. Or yeah,
Chase.
He's one of the
Chase.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of the firefighters on Chicago Fire. He's the ugly one.
I know. Yeah. He's the dog.
Yeah, he's the dog.
It's craziness. This should be a good movie. Tom Hanks has announced that he is producing a film about the biography of Brian Epstein, who legendarily was the Beatles' manager, the man who discovered them and got them their first recording gig and guided them through the shark-infested waters of the music industry, made them the biggest band in the world. Then, famously, took his own life in 1967 when the Beatles decided to stop touring and he felt less and less useful and a part of the band. But I did not know this. Besides being a closeted homosexual, which is well documented, he was also a addicted gambler, drug addict, and alcoholic. Had a lot of demons in his life and finally took his own life in 67 while the Beatles were away with the Maharishi Yogi learning about transcendental meditation.
That could be a good movie.
This could be a fascinating movie. The guy who wrote it said it's the story of the man who threw the biggest party of the 60s but ultimately forgot to invite himself. It's a very clever way of putting his life story, so I'd be interested in seeing that film. Benedict Cumberbatch, who plays Sherlock on the BBC series Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
And will be in the next Star Trek movie. He apparently has signed on to play Epstein. So I'm looking forward to that. Should be a good movie. I know you don't like Beatles thing, Kevin, but even you could see that being an interesting story, right? January Jones, you want to find out where she lives and next year go to her house for Halloween.
Nice melons.
Yeah, I don't know what she dressed up as, but I'd like to see her come to the door. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
I think.
Just she's hot.
Yeah.
She was giving out, guess what she was giving out? Most people giving out candy. What were you giving out there, Ken? Were you giving out the regular size bars or were you giving out the mini little miniature bars?
No one comes to our house.
What?
This is a terrible dark street.
With no sidewalk.
No sidewalk.
It sounds like a CBS drama. Yeah.
It's a terrible dark street. No one goes.
There's no sidewalk.
Kevin
there's no lights.
Boulevard.
It's really just it's depressing.
Where do
night.
You live?
Don't you live behind walls, too, by the way?
Mockingbird
Lane? Drawbridge or something? Or?
No. It's just a bad neighborhood. That's
we'll put Linus out in front of the wall and let him hand out candy
put
to
up
kids.
Some lights. How about to put up some Halloween lights? Let the kids see you're open for business.
We go to the good neighborhoods.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
I bust in.
January Jones was giving out $100 Toys R Us gift cards to trick or treat.
No!
What?
Yeah, how about that?
Why would you do that?
Because she is generous and nice, Lisa, unlike you, apparently, who would not give that to children.
No.
$100 Toys R Us gift cards to the kids. Go buy your own toys, kids.
That's who can afford many of those?
January Jones, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah.
You see those kids getting back in line?
Yeah.
Take it off.
Yeah. One at home, getting new costume, coming back. Yep.
And this is sad. We were talking about the kids. Honey Boo Boo, Alana Thompson. She is 7 years old. News broke this week that her mom perhaps a little more worried about training her for the runway than for the toilet. Mm. Alana, who's seven, wears pull-ups. Still wears pull-up diapers because she is not yet fully toilet trained.
At just the age crazy.
Of seven. Isn't seven like first grade, second grade?
Yeah.
I think so, yes.
Who's still wearing diapers in first grade?
Zero people.
Zero, yeah.
Wow. That's ugly.
This family.
Yeah.
This is, yeah, it's all fun games. It's all, look at them. Until we realize that's patient zero. This from this point on, this is what America's going to be. This we had a chance to snuff it out, but no. We'll look back 50 years from now and say, no, we let the Thompsons take over. Now
there's nothing to say.
There is nothing to say.
Her favorite foods are sketty and butter.
Sketty and butter. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Born on this day, November 2nd. Chris Walla, guitarist for Death Cab for Cutie, 37 years old today. Nelly, the rapper, celebrates his 38th birthday. How do we not have a little, it's getting hot in here.
By Bean.
All day. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. What about Bean's? Oh, it's getting hot in here. Bean's tribute to Nelly. All morning long, we let it go by, and we didn't get a chance to pull it up.
We usually have Omar handle stuff like that, and he's gone.
So. Oh, it's been a rough week with Omar. We get him back on Monday. We get Omar back, right? He's not taking 2 weeks or anything.
That's correct.
Okay.
Now he's coming back.
Whew, it's a rough week.
Hang on, Ralph. Hang on.
It's a rougher setup waiting for this segment to have a payoff.
Hold it.
Do you have the tape or not? If you don't, I'll just move on.
Ready?
It's Nelly's birthday today.
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
That was worth it.
Nice up,
that's all I got.
He's 38 years old today. David Schwimmer,
celebrates his 46th birthday.
It's getting hot in here, no, so take off all your clothes.
It's got nothing to do with that. David Schwimmer.
What the hell was that?
Take off all your clothes.
Lauren Velez from Dexter. She plays LaGuardia.
She's good.
LaGuardia. Anyway, that you know that chick from that show. She's 48. And Michael Buffer. Let's get ready to rumble! Boxer and wrestling ring announcer turned 68 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph. Monday morning, we have an all-new show. We have Miss Double December details.
Come on with that.
Best
wonderful time of the year.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. And more tickets for our breakfast with Mumford & Sons. We will see you on Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
She blinded me with boogers.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Talk that way.
Roll another one.
I despise
just
you.
Like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
Hell yeah! Hell
yeah! I need another hit.
It's a sausage competition. Oh, in like sausage eating?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
King of the kubasa.
I bet it's delicious.
It is.
Roll another one.
MS.
Just like the other one.
You sound like an unbelievable douche.
This one seems to be about sense.
How do you keep your head about
it? I don't have another sense.
Whoa, did you feel that? I think our periods just synchronized.
You know what I'm talking about, Kevin?
Just pass it around.
Just let it go.
But don't hold on that joint, my friend.
Oh, don't be so dramatic.
But just pass it on down.
Screw this. The rest of you can stay here like dorks, but I'm going home.
Oh, hello. I had such a nice time visiting Los Angeles. It's... so many fancy people with the fancy lights. Oh. Hollywood! Oh, goodbye. Thank you for memories.
And thank you all for your hard work. Now stay cool. It's a hot one out there today.
That's right. You could practically cook an egg on the sidewalk.
Terrific.
I need to step out. My bowels get very loose in situations like...